Y'all know my wife. For those of you who don't know, this is Kelly. And the call of God on her life has been there from before I met her. In fact, part of our story is that we were in high school and I was searching. I had given my life to Christ at 16, but wandered for a couple years because I didn't have discipleship. I didn't have a church I could plug into. The tradition I came from did not have anything. And the first date I went on with her, she just started challenging me with questions about God and where I was at. And from that moment, I was hooked. Right? It just captured my heart. And not just because she's beautiful, because she is, but because in the spirit, she is more powerful than she possibly realizes. And so as we prayed about for this August, I knew I was going to be with the kids ministry. It was that time when the Lord says, all right, Kelly, it's time to preach and bring the word. And so I give to you the most powerful preacher in the family. I really mean that. I just tell you, Papa Jack, when Papa Jack and Mama Frieda prayed over us, he said it, her anointing is even greater than mine. It's awesome to see. And I'm so glad that you guys get to see what I get to see every single day. And so I love you, babe. Have fun.
Wow, thank you. I know. I'll keep them. Oh, God is so good. He's so gracious. I feel like I need to just walk over this platform and take a look at you guys. And just see. Sometimes it's a bold thing to do just to be seen, isn't it? Not to hide. It's easy to hide. It's really easy to hide. But God calls us not to hide, right? He calls us to be seen for him and to burn for him. I bless you guys, church. I bless what I see, but I bless the unseen too. I bless you guys, church. This is a very different church from the time I was up here last. Last time I preached, it was 2 years ago. And I was a very different person when I preached 2 years ago. I was preaching a couple years ago. I preached on healing. I was preaching from a position of trying to prove it, trying to show that this is true. This is God. You got to believe this. You got to hang on to this for yourself. And, you know, now I'm not there really. I'm kind of in this comfortable place with God where, you know, I know who he is, and I think we as a church kind of operate in who we are in God. And I wanted to speak to you guys a little bit today about identity. It's a really popular topic right now. I think it's all over the place. I keep hearing it everywhere, seeing it everywhere. It's a very popular topic right now. But I feel like God wants to talk to us today about that, about basically not just who we are, but how to function in our identity, how to live as God calls us to live. So a couple of passages I'm going to use. If you want to open your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 10, you can put a marker there, and John chapter 4. Those are the two main passages I'm going to be using this morning. And it was kind of fun because God drew me to the Message version this time in this message. So I'm going to be using the Message translation for most of the addresses that I'll be using. So I look forward to this message today. I look forward to what God's going to release in us. And I hope this will be an opportunity for us to rise up into our identity that God calls us to. Not just to believe what he says, but to really operate and do what he says, because he'll give us the capacity to do that. When we talk about being who we are and changing who we are, there's different ways we try to approach change, right? There's different ways we try to seek out God, and there's different ways we try to become who he called us to be. On the screen there's a visual of a graphic from a guy named Bob Hamp. He's a counselor, and he is talking about different ways people try to change. And it starts by, you know, if we're going to do lower level change, you'll do changes like, oh, I'm going to stop going here and start going here. I'm going to stop hanging out with these people and start hanging out with these people. That's like lower level change. We can change our behavior, the things we do. I'm going to stop doing this and start doing this. I'm going to change the way I think about it. I'm going to change the way I even feel about these things. That's that's another level of change. Well, I might even learn some new skills, right? And learn some new things to do about my problems, or try to do something different that I haven't done before. Try to educate myself, right? That's a different level of change. We might even change what we believe about it, what we believe about God, right? What we believe about ourselves. But God calls us to something higher. And today, that's what I want to talk to you about, is something that's kind of a trump card. And I really want you to look at this as a trump card in your pocket, right? God gives us a lot of trump cards in the name of Jesus, right? That's a trump card, right? Knowing who you are in Christ is a trump card. Knowing how to be who you are in Christ is a trump card, right? So today, that's what I want to equip you guys with, is how to be who you're made to be, right? And that's what we want to talk about, is one of those higher level changes, which is identity. In John 4, verse 23 and verse 24, I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. It says, it's who you are and the way you live that count for God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before him in their worship. God is sure being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves in adoration. Right? That's what we're called to, is to be our truest self before God. Not hiding anything, not ashamed, not in fear, but just saying, God, this is where I'm at right now. Help me to be more where you want me to be today. Today I'm going to bring all of me before you, not hiding a thing from you. So the way that we seek God is really important, because we seek God all the different ways we've been taught and all the ways we've been told. It's really important for us to have kind of a foundation for our identity, right? The reason we get our identity is out of relationship, not activity. For example, if I'm going to pursue a relationship with God or pursue acting out of God, I'm not going to do something for God. I'm going to do it because of who he is to me, right? I'm not going to do something just to do it because it's a good thing to do, right? That's not how I have who I am, right? I'm not, you know, in relationship, I'm not identified as Mrs. Miller because I hang out with Jay, right? Right? It's we have a relationship, right? It's the same thing. I'm not my children's mom just genetically, but we have relationship, right? Think about your closest relationships. It's not just because of you being there with them. If it's part of your identity, then it's relational. And so we have to strengthen our ability to do relationship well. We're not just actors playing a role, right? Something that you step into and you step out of, right? If it's something that you put on, then it's something you can put off, right? If it's something you do, it's something you can undo. This is not what identity is. Identity is something you are. It's something you always are, right? As a God follower, that's something that I do. I'm not a holy person one moment and then not a holy person one moment. That's not even behavioral based. That's who God called me to be, right? That's not even what I find my hands doing, or if I find myself up on a platform, or if I find myself in the nursery. I mean, that those are good things to do for God, but that's not who I am in God. Who I am in God is because I have this relationship with him, and he called me to be something with him. Right? And in relationship, I get to be something with him. We get to do things with God, right? We get to go to some cool places. We get to see some cool things happen, right? We access this God-given identity through love. I told Jay, you must have had the sermon notes when you prepared the music this morning. He said, I feel like that every week. It's Holy Spirit. That's how we get access to God. That's how we get access for our God-given identity, is through love. When we know the love of our Father and we live in the love of our Father, it's easy to be our truest self. right? It's easy to be our best self. If we could see the world through God's eyes, we would have only love for the world. When God's love is revealed, we are empowered to fulfill our original design, right? Uncorrupted, untainted, purely and holy who he called us to be. If I told you this morning, if I gave you a pep talk and simply told you to do your best before God, if I told him, you know, just let him be your judge, don't judge yourself, don't rely on the judgments of others, you would have some freedom, you would have some acceptance to rise up and say, okay, I trust God to become in me all that he's called me to be. But God goes a step further. He empowers us with the faith to be our best. He impassions us with his love. When we know we're loved by our Father, fear is so far away from us that it's not even a part of who we are anymore, right? Our decisions aren't based out of that, right? The way we view ourselves changes. So I encourage you this morning, ask God for a revelation of love. If you're saying, God, I need some direction in my life, if I'm needing to know what you called me to or what you've gifted me with, say, God, first, before I ask any of those things, show me your love for me, right? And then out of his love for you will come the what to do and how to do and who you are. All that will come. First, know the love of your Father, and then out of that, the other stuff will come. So when you know you're loved by God, it changes things, right? Honor, acceptance are a part of your relationships. You're able to maintain close relationships and care for others. You're able to recognize efforts of others and give genuine thanks. Building others up and blessing them becomes your standard. You're able to think about and care for people with empathy and compassion. People know they are loved by God. We have a ready word of encouragement and look for ways to honor others. When we know we're loved by God, we create a safe place for peaceful relationships. We readily help those who have been struggling. When we know we're loved by God, it changes our view of the world, our view of ourselves, and the way we walk through life, right? We get in trouble when we try to find our own way to access God, right? And isn't that the way sometimes we're taught or we're modeled or, you know, we do the best we can to try to figure out God when we don't know any better? And so sometimes one of the ways we try to access God is through our works. I want to access the cross. I want to access healing. I want to access forgiveness, but I feel like I have to do something for God to have a relationship with him. And when we do stuff for God out of, this is the only way to get to relationship, we're missing something. He has already given us his unconditional, unrevocable acceptance. It's not something we have to earn, right? Idolatry that is achieved by exclusion, identity that is achieved by idolatry, excuse me, let me say this again. Identity that is achieved by exclusion is idolatry, right? If I'm trying to achieve my identity, get who I am by saying you can't do this thing, you can't be this person, that's idolatry, that's religion, right? But God says we don't have to exclude, we get to welcome everybody in. We get to say, hey, you know what? God sees you. He sees who you are, he sees what you've done, he sees where you've been, and he loves you. And he welcomes you, and he wants you. And he's going to call you into relationship, into your fullest identity. We don't belong because we chose God. He chose us, right? I don't get to stand here because of merit, right? That's not why any of us get to do anything for God. We get to do it because he loves us. Right? And we get to tell people how much he loves us and how much he loves them. We belong because he chose us. We are good enough because he said we're good enough. Period. Right? He said we're good enough. And so anything that would tell you that you're not good enough, that's the thing that you need to squish under your foot, right? Because we don't have to work for it. God already did the work on the cross, and it's finished. When he said it's finished. Right? Right. So now when we do works, we do those things because of our love for God, not to earn our place, to get to God. Right? Sometimes we do things to get to God out of guilt. Sometimes we go, okay, I have to remember all these bad things I did. I have to remember what I've done to God, and I have to get to God through a relationship of guilt. If I remember the bad things I've done, then it'll make me want to be repentant. It'll make me want to seek God out. And God says, no, that's done at the cross. We are done, right? We are approved of. Right? Forever and irrevocably, he says, there's no condemnation for those who belong in Christ Jesus, right? It's Romans 8:1. We don't have to be guilty anymore, ever again, because God said the guilt is taken. That was taken on the cross, right? His shame was taken on the cross. Shame's another way we try to access God. Sometimes we find ourselves beating ourselves up to get to God, to enter his presence and saying, oh, what a horrible person I am. That's why I need you. I'm a sinner saved by grace. God says, no, you're saved. You are mine. You were a sinner, but now you're a saint, right? You're my holy people. Now he says, be holy as I am holy, right? Be holy as I am holy. It says in John 8, verse 36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, then you're free indeed. That's right. That's right. So declare that over your life. If you find shame coming on you and trying to tell you who you are, you say, no, sir. No, 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 no. My God said, I am free from that shame, right? I don't have to live under the weight of that anymore. Declare it. God said, I'm free. I am free indeed, right? That's right. The last way that I'm going to talk about that we try to find ourselves accessing God is through fear. Sometimes we're afraid of punishment. Sometimes we're afraid that God's going to reject us or withhold his blessings from us. Let me just tell you, that's not who God is, right? God loves us so much, he doesn't abandon us to ourselves. He'll honor your choices. If you choose to walk away and not believe him, he'll honor your choices. He'll let you. But God loves you so much, he will fight for you. He's a jealous God, and he will fight for you, and you are worth fighting for, right? But God doesn't reject his people, right? He said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. He said that to his son. He says that to you, too, as adopted children. These are my sons and my daughters of whom I'm well pleased. Do you know that he's well pleased with you?
Yes.
Do you see the Father's good pleasure? Do you see his smile when he looks at you? We don't have to be afraid of him. He's a good daddy. Yeah? We can call out to Abba without fear. So rather than a holy reverence for God who loves us too much to abandon us to our choices, our God loves us too much to abandon us to our choices. In that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to start in verse 17. In the Bible, in the Message version. And I'm going to read to verse 24. 1 Corinthians 10, 17, about halfway through 17b. It says, we don't reduce Christ to what we are. He raises us to what he is. That's basically what happened even in old Israel. Those who ate the sacrifices offered on God's altar entered into God's action on the altar. You see, the different sacrifices offered to idols are offered to nothing. For what's an idol but nothing? Or worse than a nothing, a minus, a demon. I don't want you to become part of something that reduces you to less than yourselves. And you can't have it both ways, banqueting with the master one day and slumming with the demons the next. Besides, the master won't put up with it. He wants us, all or nothing. Do you think you can get off with anything less? Looking at it one way, you could say, anything goes because of God's immense generosity and grace. We don't have to dissect and scrutinize every action to see if it'll pass muster. But the point is not just to get by. We want to live well. For our foremost effort should be to help others live well. God doesn't call us just to get by, just to ride it out till we get to heaven. He has good things planned for his people. He has blessings planned for those who love him. And today I want us to discover his blessings for us. He'll honor our choices, whether we accept him or reject him. But today I want to invite you to remove our lens and to see God for who he is. And ask him, what would I see differently about you? If I saw you for who you really are, and I look at the experiences of my life, and I see this set of things that says, this is who you are, and I see your word, and it says, this is who you are, and there's these two vast differences, and I say, okay, God, which am I going to believe? Which am I going to believe today? Am I going to stand on the truth of your word until I see it reconciled with my experience? Or am I going to let the truth fall away and say, okay, I'm going to go with my experience? The way to reconcile the two and to make them not seem so distant is with faith. God, I trust that what you said is true, and until I see it fully happen here on the earth, I'm going to believe it. And so I'll let you, God, interpret these things that I've experienced, right? God, you were there. What happened? What's your truth? You're past, present, and future. What do you want to say to that, right? God, I'm going to honor you today with my belief. I'm going to honor you today by trusting what you said, right? And if I'm going to honor what he says about me, about my life, about the experiences, everything, then I have to look at what he says about me, right? There are some really cool verses in the Bible that speak to who we are. And I encourage you guys, if there's an area of your life you're struggling, ask God for a specific word. Ask him for a specific verse that you can declare over your situation. And you can say, no, my God knit me together in my mother's womb. He had plans for me before he laid the foundations of the earth. Start declaring those things over your life. When Satan comes to attack you in a certain way, let him pay, right? Let him pay. Take territory back from him, right? By saying, you know what? You tried to take me out with that. I'm going to thank God for that. And I'm going to thank him more because, you know what? Not only can you not have that area of life, but I'm going to regain and recapture some of the areas, other areas of my life and say, okay, God, what else do you have to say about that? Let's see what else you have to say. I'm going to take back what Satan tries to take from me, and I'm going to make him pay for it. Do the same. We don't have to settle, right? Live life well by living life who God called you to be, right? You don't have to settle for a lesser version of yourself, right? Doesn't matter what anybody's told you, right? In their brokenness, when they speak that stuff, that's between them and God, right? Our job is to say, okay, God, restore them in grace, right? I'm going to go based off of what you say I am, right? Who you say I am nothing less, right? I will settle for nothing less than what you've called me to and who you said I am. Right? I want to read you what God says you are. And these are just some things he gave to me to speak over you guys. What is the identity of a Christ follower? We are the victorious children of God. We were the blind who now see. We were the lame who now walk. We are no strangers to grace. We're born to bring heaven to earth. We speak what heaven speaks, and we do what heaven says to do. Thanksgiving is our native tongue. We know the generosity of God, and we will bring the generosity of God. We know and are known by God on a first name basis. We are no orphans, for we know and live in the love of our Father. We are children of the day, the ones who walk in the light. God's love is our agenda. We come with a message of salvation, of healing, of love. We are the ones God reveals his plans to, the ones who discover the secret things of God. We are credentialed by Christ and redeemed by the Lamb. To honor his sacrifice, we live free from the past. We lay down our judgments and readily forgive. We are sustained by his grace, protected by his hand, empowered by faith, and impassioned by his love. We are found in him. We are counseled in his wisdom, anointed for his purposes, and released to restore his lost sons and daughters. Our souls are watered by his goodness to us. We will boldly live our part to see his glory revealed. Amen. Amen. Ask him who you are. might be surprised what you discover. He doesn't withhold his hand of blessing from those who love him, right? If you seek him, he will bless you. He's not going to withhold his goodness from you. Today, I want to encourage you guys to let Christ's glory be revealed in you. He is the hope of glory. He is the hope for the world, and he's inside of us. And the way he's released is when his people live who they are, how he calls them to live. Christ in us is glory revealed. I encourage you today, expose yourself as a Christ follower. Don't keep it a secret. Let your identity be known. Everyone who knows you, let it be known that you're a sold out God follower. Not hiding, not placating, not doing religious acts. Expose yourself as a sold out God follower. On the hardest days, when your identity is challenged and your circumstances will try to define God's truth for you, honor him with your belief. I do this by saying, I trust him. I trust you, Jesus. I don't understand, but I trust you. Right? Let your lives be proved true. When I was getting ready to preach this message, I have to tell you that I felt silenced. I felt like my voice had been silenced. Not by physical, you know, I hadn't physically lost my voice, but I felt like I had chosen to be silent for a while, just out of hurt and choices and, you know, life happens. And sometimes we allow ourselves to be silenced. And I did. I allowed myself to be silenced. And I felt like the Lord said, I'm letting you speak again. I had a dream. And I'll tell you this dream, that I was sitting at a table in front of my enemies. And my enemies were declaring their plans over me, saying, this is what I'm going to do in your life. This is what's going to happen to you. And the Lord just gave me my voice back. And it sounded like this. Ha!
Yeah.
Ha! Will you do that with me? Ha! That's what we do to the enemy. It's from like the inmost being. Ha! That's what we do in the face of our enemy. Ha! That's how you get your voice back if you lost it, by the way. Your physical voice. If you lose your voice, huh, you know, it's not in here. It's from the depths of your being. You got to and get your voice back and go, no! We laugh at our enemy and we declare the victory of our God. How do we declare it? Not with just a laugh. We trample his plans for us by the way we live our lives. Right? This is who I am in Christ. This is who Christ allowed me to be. So I don't have to hide behind the veil of being an introvert. I used to. And that's okay. I prefer to hide behind Jay and let him be the forerunner and all that stuff. That's okay, but God says every single person who's called by my name has a purpose in my kingdom. Every single person. I'm much more comfortable one-on-one in a counseling room. You know, that's my spot, right? That's where I love to be. But sometimes God calls us to different spots because he wants to do something different through us. And I encourage you, whatever God calls you to do, to be fully what he calls you to be, right? Whether he calls you to a mission field or whether he calls you to the grocery store or wherever he calls you, to your school, wherever he calls you, be fully who he calls you to be, right? Let me just pray a blessing over you guys, okay? If you'll hold your hands out in reception. So, Father, I bless these, your children, to be fully who you've called them to be, nothing less. I pray, Father, they will walk in the truth of who you've called them to be, for a fresh anointing of your grace, that these who are called by your name will restore the lost children to you. Thank you for this ministry of reconciliation. Thank you for this opportunity to show your grace to the world. Thank you, God, for your love that empowers us and impassions us to be fully who you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that you will stir up a holy boldness in us to settle for nothing less than your goodness for us. Lord, I pray that your truth will win out in our lives and that your will be seen in our lives and in the world around us. God, let this group of world changers, let this group of world changers shake the foundations. I thank you, God, that you have your purposes laid out for us before the foundations of the world. And nothing can shift your plans. Nothing can remove your hand of blessing from these who are yours. I bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have the ministry team up here in the front. I want to encourage you guys, if there's an area of your life where you're struggling on what God says you are or what you feel like you're called to do, and there's just this kind of tension there of I'm struggling to live in it, come up here and let us pray for you. Let us minister grace to you. Let us empower you to do fully everything God calls you to do. Okay, whether it's a prayer need about this or anything else, we'd be glad to pray for you. It's our honor and our privilege to pray for you guys. You really need to know that. We love to be able to partner with you guys in prayer. We love to be there on your darkest day. That's a privilege to us. It really is. So don't withhold that stuff. Press into relationship with God. Press into relationship with the people around you and let us love on you. Okay, y'all have a great day.